Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
Yeah, it took you a while.
Well, because you were kind of low when you said I'm John C. Dvorak, because it was very low.
Well, you're the knob twiddler.
I am a twiddle of knobs, I must tell you. I'm on the right side. Everything seems good here.
Well, it's the middle of February, and here we are.
Yeah. So we got a, don't we have a leap year this year?
I don't know. I don't think so. Let me look.
I think it's a leap year.
Yeah, we do.
It's a leap year.
There's an extra day.
Yep. Well, it's going to throw everything off. It's going to just throw everybody out, off, all screwed up. But markets don't seem to care about any of that. We could have 10 less days in the year, and it would just be a reason to buy more because there's less days to be doing some buying and selling. Markets just are oblivious.
Well, the question is, when do you think we should have a betting pool? This would be a good closer to the pin.
Yeah, what?
Kind of a one that's extended a little bit, not a normal one. Who hits the date when the market hits 30,000?
Oh, but not when it peaks, when it hits 30,000.
No, when it closes it above 30,000.
Yeah, well, that's going to be, it looks these days like it's going to be pretty quick.
Well, that would make it fast game.
Yeah, it would. Well, let me give you an update of some of the things we're going to talk about this evening. We got the rally continuing. We got China coming with some stimulus here. We got the Monday through Thursday up, Friday down pattern broken. And it was only because of a Hail Mary on Friday. Japan's GDP comes in just horrible, just terrible. Really bad. Seems like there's some bad actors in the financial education area. No surprise to anybody there.
Well, that's a shocker.
Shocker. We're announcing a new close to the pin. Limericks are back. We got some listener entries this week. That's good. And in terms of the markets, we see this V pattern that has been continuing again, even though we saw some downside action today because, you know, Apple did, in fact, put in a very concerning memo last night where they said that, you know, we're not going to be meeting our expectations. Our guidance is kaput
because we're basically a Chinese company.
Yeah. Yeah, between the sales in China and the retail sales closed, between their factories not starting up as, you know, as they thought it would. I mean, is this a surprise?
Well, you tweeted about this not being much of a surprise. I mean, what do people think is going to happen?
I have no idea. They think it's just going to blow over, and all these cities that are under quarantine and the mass panic over there. There's a panic going on over there. You know, I don't know if I told you this. It turns out that, you remember that ship, the Westerdam, I think it was a Westerdam, that was floating around the sea for 2 weeks with nowhere to go?
Oh, yeah, the one that it finally docked in Malaysia or
Cambodia.
Someplace. Or
yeah, Cambodia.
Cambodia.
My very close family member, well, not family, but once removed family, was on that ship.
Oh.
I just found out.
Nice.
She said it was awful. She's now in Cambodia. Maybe can get out, possibly, but then may have to go to quarantine for another 14 days if she, in fact, gets an available flight out. And then the question is, who's going to fly her out? It's a big problem. These people are in bad shape. And the ship over in Japan has, like, what, 350 or 400 people infected on that boat now?
Well, they've taken the Americans out.
Yeah, it's very bad. We see some new highs again. Even with the Apple announcement today, we saw a new high for the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
Fed's adding more stimulus, about $80 billion over the last couple of weeks or so. China's flooding in stimulus. Crude oil pops back. We think that maybe OPEC is cutting because they did downgrade their outlook. The White House is hinting at tax incentives for buying stocks. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but I don't know what the incentives were rumored to be.
Well, it seems that this happened very interesting timing. This is on Friday when the markets were in a tailspin down towards the end of the day, thinking that here we go again, Friday, we're going to see a sell-off into the long weekend with an extra day. And lo and behold, we see that 3 p.m., an announcement. And it was kind of vague, of course. It was the usual, who, you know, exactly who knows what's going on with this. And it turns out that it's going to be an incentive, like kind of like a like an IRA without a deduction, where you, all the money grows tax-deferred inside. Kind of maybe like an annuity, where you put the money in, it grows tax-deferred, no capital gains, no taxes maybe on dividends or income, and then when you take it out, you're taxed on it.
Isn't that the way it is anyway?
Well, no, you pay tax on dividends, and you pay taxes on things that you sell and any gains you make.
Yeah, but isn't that what you just said? You just, it sits there until you sell it, and then you have to pay taxes.
No, until you take it out. So right now, you buy a stock, you sell it, and you pay taxes when you sell it, right?
Yeah.
In this circumstance, you buy a stock and you sell it, and whatever gains are made are not taxed until sometime in the future, let's say 10 years from now, that you would draw money.
I'm lost.
So right now, let me say it a different way. Any sale that you make right now is taxed.
Yeah.
Okay. In this circumstance, you're not sold, you're not taxed on the buys or the sells. It's the withdrawal of the money from the account.
Oh, from the account.
Mm-hmm.
So I could trade within an account as though it was like an IRA.
Right.
I just trade away in this account, and until I just take the money out of the account and make it a cash.
Yep.
It just sits there until then it gets taxed later.
Right. Exactly. That's so you're basically
nobody can manage. That's no. It's not going to fly.
Well, this is something to once again. Now somebody quite. I have a piece on this coming down a little bit further. Let's go back down here. Let's see. Okay, so households earning up to $200,000 a year could invest $10,000 on a tax-free basis outside of a 401k retirement account in one proposal under consideration. So the money that was put into the account would be done so on an after-tax basis and taxed when withdrawn as well, but any accumulation of profits during the investment time frame, known as capital gains, would not be taxed. And it's going to require, well, congressional approval. And then the big questions I had some questions like, okay, so what investments can you put in there? Can you put, okay, stocks? Okay, fine. What about like mutual funds and options?
What about gold,
ETFs, bonds, real estate, or is it just the stock market?
Real estate.
You think so?
No, I think that'd be great.
But it's only 10.
I mean, besides a real estate investment trust, just real estate, raw land.
But it's at $10,000 maximum.
But then again, what broker is going to keep that money? You'd usually end up doing those transactions as a lone wolf. You do it yourself. You don't do it through someone.
Right.
And then have them hold the money. I'd never heard of that.
There are
Not real estate.
There are specialized IRA custodians that will actually hold all sorts of things. As long as it's an arm's length transaction that you make. So if I buy, for example, so let's say that I buy a piece of raw land from you, okay, and I hold it inside of there, that's an arm's length transaction. But if I buy it from my wife, probably not. Just to get it under the umbrella of a IRA.
Yeah, this isn't good. It's too complicated.
I hear you. Anyway, that's what seemingly turned the markets around, that everybody was all excited and puffy about the idea that, oh man, we're getting more tax incentives and this administration really has got our backs and we're just so happy about this. So that kind of saves
anything that works.
Yeah, anything that works to keep the market floating higher.
He's a cheerleader, this guy.
Yep. Apple, not happy. We got a bad apple. We took a bite out of the apple. You know what I'm saying? Rotten to the core. A few comments starting to come in lately from a few companies, but when was this? It was on Monday at about 4 p.m. So the markets are closed here. Markets are pretty much closed around the world. So that short period of time before futures opened, Apple comes out and said there's some concern over their sales and supply and business interruption related to the China coronavirus, which now we got to call. Do we have to call it that other name now? This something 19?
COVID-19.
COVID. I thought it should be called. People are asking what would be a better name. I thought it would be COFEFI-19. That'd be a good one, right?
It would be good.
So Apple came out with an announcement that they're cutting guidance, saying that they will not meet previous numbers due to store closings and a shutdown in manufacturing in China. And markets were...
The word closing is dubious. It was just basically a hiatus because the stores are... Actually, they've already given the date for them being reopened.
That's a tentative date. Let's get that clear. Because if this thing gets any worse, they're going to keep it closed for a while. They're already talking about sanitizing money there. Did you see that story?
Oh, they're doing that constantly, yeah. That's actually not a bad idea.
They're going to put ultraviolet light on the money, and then the money that was, I guess, somehow in certain areas that the money was where the transaction took place, if it was a high-risk area, I guess, I don't know, maybe in a hospital, maybe you're paying your bill with money. I don't know. They're going to be taking that, shredding it, bringing it to a power generation facility, burning it for energy. I don't know. Does anybody burn coal? Like not coal, but paper for power these days?
It sounds like a old idea that probably can still be implemented somewhere. I don't know. Maybe the Chinese do.
Maybe they do. But markets are not too concerned. Apple was down about 2% on the day. Closed near the highs of the day, but still down a couple of percent. The chip manufacturers were down, but the rest of the markets didn't seem to care. I mean, I didn't care. I mean, yes, the Dow Jones was down 165 points. Of that, probably 8-7. So if you count about 56 or maybe 60 points of that was Apple. But, I mean, the NASDAQ was up by the end of the day. The S&P was down 25 basis points. And you gotta wonder for a moment, just for a moment, is there an outside source that's bidding up these markets? I've gotten to the point with the action that I've seen recently that it's like, this cannot be simply just passive investing. There's got to be some concern that enters into the investor psyche that keeps them from investing. But yet, it's like every day it just goes up no matter what. Is it possible?
Well, I suppose it's possible, but you should at least suggest what sort of outside entity this might be.
It would seem to me that it's got to be governments, sovereign wealth funds, Japanese. They can't put more money in their market. They're just printing yen and putting it in our markets. Who knows? Maybe it's the Fed. I don't know. It seems a little suspect, this whole deal.
Okay. You're closer to it than I am in. At that level.
It's just the pulse feels odd.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Amazon's not happy.
Wait a minute. This is a cow. It's not a person.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I guess. I'm not sure what that means. What does that mean?
Well, you said, you know, it felt funny. It's like a pulse, feeling a pulse, and it's not a person, but it's a cow or a dog.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a little off. The beat is off.
I'll try to explain these next time in more detail.
Thank you. Thank you. For us in the back row. Amazon's not so happy either. They had they want to depose President Trump and Defense Secretary Mark Esper, former Defense Secretary James Mattis, over the $10 billion Pentagon cloud contract that was given to Microsoft. They think that there was something going on because maybe President Trump doesn't like the Washington Post and the fact that Bezos owns it. And they said that these players played pivotal roles in the ultimate awarding of the contract. And it wasn't fair, man. So they're going to try to...
So they're supposed to get every contract automatically.
Not automatically, but I think they thought there was undue pressure. Yeah, undue pressure.
It's probably true.
Well, with what we saw recently with the Roger Stone and judicial system pressuring, it would seem that this is probably very true. Don't you think?
The Roger Stone thing is more complex, but this looks pretty straightforward. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that this has been, it's like, it goes like this. Jeff Bezos hates the government, and we're going to give him this contract where he now has access to all this deep information where he can blackmail us? No, not going to happen.
You don't think that this is going to be built in a way that is going to be roped off?
You would hope.
I mean, if this is a Pentagon but the project way things are going,
the Pentagon, they can't even The Pentagon can't even do an audit.
No.
They said it. We right. can't do it. Can't do an audit. Right. We don't know what we're spending. We don't know where it's going. We can't help you at all because we just can't do it.
Too many billions.
So it's like, billions, who knows, trillions. they can't do an audit. So now they're going to rope this off and do a good job. I don't think so.
Yeah, well, they're going to try to get this deposition from President Trump. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Moving on to Japan, the GDP, wow, amazing. This is, we've talked about this before. This happened in 2014 and 15, where they instituted higher taxes on retail purchases, a sales tax. And what happened was that all the Japanese buyers went out and bought everything they could right before the tax hike was implemented.
It's a phenomenon you like to comment on.
Yeah. So what happened? Well, right after that happened, all of a sudden there was just a total, you know, a vacuum of buying that went on. Then you add to that the fact that there was global demand softening due to just a lot of things that were happening in the world. And you add a little bit of a touch of the coronavirus to the beginning of this. And gross domestic product fell 1.6% for the quarter, or an annualized 6.3% in the October to December period. Most people had thought that it would be about 3.7% contraction. So we're talking about a pretty substantial move to the downside. And private consumption dropped 2.9% as households curbed spending. There's a chart here that shows you just some quick quarterlies. It's available over on DH Unplugged, episode 493. So you can see that.
Down 6.3. Yeah. Not good.
No. Markets didn't care too much there. They were maybe dipped a little bit, maybe a couple percent. You would think that this is a pretty dramatic move to the downside.
Oh, this would sink our economy.
Well, yeah, it would. But at the same time, the narrative continues to be that, well, that the Bank of Japan is going to have to step up their stimulus. So all this bad news.
They wouldn't have had to do anything if they hadn't dropped a stupid sales tax out there.
Yep, that's correct. But the problem is that because they have such a major deficit, and because the interest rates are so low, and because of all the ways that they structured their economy and the debt outstanding, they don't have the receipts coming in, and it's causing the potential for like a Moody's to downgrade their sovereignty rating. And they have to keep on doing these kinds of things to make sure they have enough receipts to cover their payment requirements. They're very nervous about losing their sovereign rating.
I would be.
Yeah, so they have to keep on raising taxes. They
just drive more money to our markets.
Exactly. Exactly. And then in China, there's some talk that the Chinese economy is going to take a major hit in the first quarter. So there's some talk about gross domestic product growing at 4% in the first quarter, which is down from 6%. But I think that is being very kind. From everything that I'm seeing, not only do you have the government locking down various provinces and cities, but it seems to me that there's a lot of panic going on there that is not being accounted for. People just not going outside. I think the whole service sector is going to be in a disaster zone. People are not going out to eat. They're not traveling. They're not doing any entertainment. Tourism is dead there.
Yeah, I know. It's just basically come to a standstill.
Total standstill. So I think this is being very kind.
And how long has this been going on? A couple of weeks already, or is it a month yet?
It's a month.
Yeah, well, this is going to make a big difference.
Big difference. And it doesn't look like there's any, I mean, there was further lockdowns this weekend, further cities being contained. And you see some really weird, I don't know how accurate these videos are that I'm seeing. You know, who knows if they're just making these videos up. But there's one video of a guy who went outside of his apartment without a mask. And to show that this is not allowed and to make a example, they tied him up to a column. They roped him to a column. I don't know about that. Then there's another video of someone going into, like, I don't know, Department of Motor Vehicles, let's say, and doing a transaction. and the receipt and the transaction was done on a stick with a little plastic bucket on it, and they handed over to the person like 5 feet away to grab what was in there and then brought it back. Now, I don't know if these are just videos that are taken out of context or this is really what's going on there, but it's not so good.
It doesn't sound good. But of course, a lot of these could be, you know, they still have a bunch of these ghost cities in China, right?
Right.
These giant cities that are got nobody living there because they're just, they're waiting for, I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're sitting there.
Population explosion.
Theaters, theaters and all kinds of things there. You could probably do a lot of filming in one of those ghost cities. Nobody in the West is going to know where you are.
That's true.
Showing the places are deserted and, you know, tumbleweed going down the street or somebody getting beat up by a bunch of actors. You could have a lot of fun with that.
Have you ever actually seen with your own eyes the ghost cities?
No, they could be a fake.
No, they're not. I've seen them. I've seen them.
You've been there.
Oh, yeah. Miles and miles.
I'd love to see a ghost city.
Let me tell you. So we're driving down this road. And I don't know where we were, but it was outside of Beijing into the countryside. And it's kind of a highway. And we're driving and I'm looking over and I'm like, wow, look at that. It's kind of a cool look of what's going on there. And I'm looking over there and it's just these towering like projects, these, you know, multitude of apartment buildings in like that create this, I don't know, the project. You know what I'm talking about? Can you visualize that?
Yeah, it's a little thing coming out of the earth.
But there's, let's call it 10 buildings that are 70 stories high. And there's one right next to it, and there's one right next to it, and there's one behind it. It's almost like a mountain range of these things. As far as you can see, 50 miles I traveled on this road, ghost cities the whole way. And they have a name.
50 miles of ghost?
I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Shocking. You should have seen me in the car. I was freaking out.
Huh, that would be fun.
Oh, it's unbelievable to see. It is true. It's totally true. And I asked, they have a specific-
Did you take any photos of this?
I probably have some video stored in the iPhone somewhere. I could pull those up and send them to you if I can find them.
You should. I'd like to see this.
Yeah, I definitely have these videos from the car. So you see it from a distance. I have some pictures too. I'm gonna write myself- writing a note right now.
I'm surprised some of these Hollywood guys haven't gone there use it as a movie set for some zombie movie.
I'm sure they have. Use it for something. In Germany, going around the world here, Germany, there is better sentiment finally. The ZEW, indicator of economic sentiment for Germany, climbed 16 points from the previous month to 26.7 in January, the highest since July of 2015, which is pretty amazing.
Now, this is like a confidence index, right?
Right. Which is really...
What is causing this? There's no news coming out of Germany that would indicate things are great.
No. You saw terrible industrial production numbers, their ISM numbers, their manufacturing numbers. Terrible. So I think somehow they believe that the trade disputes that we're having with China and the agreement that we got would be beneficial to Germany. I don't understand it. That's at least the byline. There's not much of a change. It's not like we said, okay, you know what? With the trade deal for the United States, you got to buy good from Germany. That's not happening.
It must have something to do with the auto sector or it might. I mean, it's got to have, if that's the reason, there's got to be some reason. I'm surprised that we haven't heard a good, these writers who write for financial publications usually can dream something up that's pretty creative.
I haven't heard anything either. I mean, car sales are down a bit. Just a side note, Nissan's car sales, the worst ever.
Yeah, well, they have issues.
And they cut their dividend, too. So just to get back to this coronavirus, there's something now being developed and I guess being utilized called contactless pickup and delivery. So now... McDonald's, Starbucks, and other fast food companies are ramping up contactless pickup and delivery services to keep their workers and customers safe. So customers order remotely, maybe on an app, maybe on the phone, something, maybe a computer in the store, and employees seal the meals in bags and put them in a special spot for pickup without human contact. So first of all, question. How do they get the bag to the place without human contact? How do they get the stuff in the bag?
Maybe they're wearing gloves. They're wearing those neoprene gloves.
Okay, so they're wearing gloves. They pack the stuff up, and they put it in a corner for you to pick up your bag.
Yeah.
So McDonald's is saying on its website, for delivery orders, drivers drop McDonald's packages at building entrances, disinfect their delivery bags, and wash their hands more frequently. Drivers carry...
This means they're not digging into the bag like they normally do and take a bite out of your French fry pile.
Well, at least they say that. Drivers carry ID cards showing that they and the people who made and packaged their food have the body temperature scanned to prove they don't have a fever. Now, you don't think there's a panic going on there if this is being done?
This is a good point.
This is normal operating procedures?
Yeah.
And it goes on. It goes on. We now have a citizen patrol going on. So according to the New York Times, China has flooded cities and villages with battalions of neighborhood busybodies, they call them. Uniformed volunteers and Communist Party representatives. Could get a picture of what's going on here. You got ID cards. Oh, and let me, before I even get into this, the next thing they're doing right now is they are getting records of all the people that have bought various products like cold and flu remedies, and then going to you and checking you to see what the story is, that if you haven't reported that you have the virus. In other words, they're going into the various places that you would buy these goods for fever reduction, cold and allergy medicines, NyQuil, whatever it is, and they're tracking you down to see if you have the virus. And we don't think there's a panic going on and a total shutdown in China? Can you imagine?
Well, it sounds pretty panicky.
Terrible. And now you got these uniformed volunteers and Communist Party representatives like marching through the neighborhoods. And what they're trying to do is keep hundreds of millions of people away from everyone but their closest kin. Housing complexes in some cities have issued the equivalent of paper hall passes to regulate how often you leave your home.
Yeah.
Apartment buildings have turned away their own tenants if they've come from out of town back. You can't come in. Can't come inside. Train stations have blocked people from entering cities if they cannot prove they live or work there. And in the countryside, villages have been gated off with vehicles, tents, and other improvised barriers.
Apocalypse.
It reminds me of... Totally reminds me of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, telling on each other. Who knows if there's rewards. If you see anybody that has a flu symptom, report it. It's bad. It's really bad. I'm not trying to be, you know, melodramatic about this whole thing, but it is, I think it's much worse than they're letting on.
Well, it's, the Chinese do tend to downplay their bad news.
Yeah. All right, on to, away from that whole depressing subject, on to the whole bad actors in the financial industry. This is interesting because there's a company out there. Have you ever heard of them? Online Trading Academy? You may have seen commercials. Never. OTA.
Never. No.
So there's a guy named...
to me, that always means over the air. It's for TV broadcasts. Yeah.
So this company called Online Trading Academy is being sued by the California FTC. Now, let's see. Hold on a second. No, the FTC has sued the California-based investment trading company, Online Trading Academy. I know of these guys, by the way. So they allege that they use false or unfounded earnings claims to sell training programs costing as much as $50,000. Now, here's what happens. You've seen these things before. They rope you in with some kind of commercial on TV. Then what they do is they bring you to a free seminar. That's easy enough, right?
Yeah, the old free seminars. The real estate business guys have really got this down.
Go to the free seminar. And then during the free seminar, they show you all these great, wow, it's as easy as this. All you have to do is be able to breathe and click a mouse. And look at that, $5,000 you'd make on that trade. And okay, I'm in for the training. So you pay, I don't know, $399 for some training, you know, a two-day quick training. But once you're there, you know what? Not enough. If you like what you're seeing here, look how much money you would have made. You know what? You need to go to the next level. And next level may cost you $1,000. It's a 3-day training program. And this goes on and on and on. And by the time you turn around, you're like, what just happened? I just paid, you know, these, some people cost as much as $50,000. I've heard like $30,000 you're in for.
I can't understand how you can get to that number.
It's, you know.
How dumb are you?
Well, you think you're going to make all sorts of money and you got this thing set up and they show you all these great numbers. They bring in all these very high energy traders and, you know, they walk you through this pretty well. So they've collected more than $370 million from consumers nationwide within the last 6 years. So $60 million a year. According to the Federal Trade Commission, they said that they misrepresented that they had a patented strategy that anyone can use to generate substantial income from trading in the financial markets. They also claim that the strategy is designed to generate income in any market, whether it's going up or down or sideways. And the company's claims are often targeted at, well, here's where the problem came in, older consumers. Additionally, the instructors, the salespeople on commission who market their training and strategy to consumers in the events around the country often hold themselves out as successful traders who have amassed substantial wealth using this strategy, which leads you to why are they selling this thing for $300 a pop if they could be trading and making all this money for themselves, right?
Yeah, it's always the thing that gets me. Well, if it's such a great idea, why don't you trade it?
Yeah. Let me give you my secret. The FTC also alleged that the Online Trading Academy had required customers who request a refund. This is really where it gets bad. Request a refund. Anybody says, I want out of this, you know, to sign a contract barring them from posting negative comments about the organization or its personnel and specifically from reporting wrongdoing to law enforcement agencies. That's what got them, that last line.
Yeah, well, that's illegal. You can have non-disparagement contracts, but you can't do report illegal activity in a contract. You can't do that.
Right. Muzzle them down. So they're in big trouble.
Fool people into thinking that, you know, you could have it in there and buffalo some idiot, but no.
So have you ever, I think I was way back when, I think that somebody invited me to something like this. There was another one, the guy went to jail. It was a red light, red, green, yellow. Remember that? There was some.
Oh, vaguely. I vaguely remember red, green, yellow.
You know, buying the red, selling the, you know, buying the green, selling the red. It's easy as that. Which, I mean, it's one thing.
Always as easy as that.
It's one thing of putting together a strategy. And I know about this because I do this. It's one thing about putting together a strategy, making it easy to recognize the trends with colors and gradients on a chart. It's another thing to say that in any market, in any condition, anybody that doesn't know what they're doing can make all sorts of money doing this. It takes a very special person, risk tolerance. You know, it's not so easy.
If it was easy, everyone would be rich.
Yep. Follow up on the shipping. Last week, we talked about the dry bulk index.
Oh, yes. This is interesting to me.
So executives say that large container ships are leaving China ports with as little as 10% full. And sailings are being canceled as carriers brace for a financial retreat. A Shanghai broker said at least one container ship that can hold more than 20,000 containers left Shanghai for Northern Europe with only 2,000 full containers.
Hmm.
And
seeing that here.
He said he'll pick up more from ports on his way, but loading data showed that when it reaches Europe, it's about 35% full. And the problem is it's not paying for the fuel costs. And stuff's not going back either, no. Right?
Well, generally. But here it seems to have been, there's a little, whatever is going on. It's all the gondolas are gone from the side, the little track that's there, the spur. And today and for the last few days, there's been a lot of container ships and a lot of trucks, more trucks than I've ever seen before that are headed to with containers on the back of them, headed to Oakland to get on a ship to go to China or who knows, I don't know where they're going, but there's a lot of them. I mean, the whole freeway was clogged this morning, which is nothing but trucks.
So is this export to imports of both?
If they're generally, the imports are coming up the freeway and the exports are going down the freeway. The trucks are going toward the ships.
So it's exports more.
So it's exports. Or they're deadheads. I mean, they could be empty containers for all I know. But there's sure a lot of them.
Because I'm thinking you should check some of those containers that are coming from other places. There could be a lot of people that are stowing away. Getting the hell out.
I think they got ways of figuring that out. But seems to be a lot of business going on. Too much.
Well, there is a lot of business.
Too much for me because you can't drive around here. It's just like everything freeways are jammed up.
Well, I think that, you know, the problem is going to be in this, you know, back to this bulking up with all these problems. People want to get stuff while they can. It's possible that stuff was shipped out before all this, but I don't know. I mean, it just seems like this stoppage of the ports. And back to your question about why is Germany so excited if they're seeing that, you know, they're not getting anything in or out. The whole thing is very odd. The whole setup right now is really odd. It's not a normal condition.
Yeah, I agree. And it's suspicious.
Yep. Let's see here. So in China's, we got more coronavirus here. So I told you about the my friend that's on that ship. In China's Hubei province, where the outbreak began in December, all vehicle traffic will be banned in another containment measure. It expands a vehicle ban to the capital of Wuhan. Exceptions being made for vehicles involved in epidemic prevention and transportation of daily necessities. FDA former commissioner Scott Gottlieb, I think he's a pretty level-headed guy, said that the public should start focusing on the COVID-19 case outside of China when considering the global risk. He said that Japan appears to be on the cusp of a large outbreak and maybe epidemic growth in Japan. Now, that's not going to be good.
No. That, huh.
We got 2,000 people dead and, 70,000 people, at least that they think is about. And it's about I think the calculation was a 2.8 or 2.3%.
But it's actually dropped.
Mortality rate?
It's dropped.
So still, it's well above 1.5, which is the normal flu.
Well, I'm not sure that's true anymore.
I guess the problem is identifying infection rate. Because not everybody will go and say that they're infected, right?
Well, I think the problem is it's not one of those things where, you know, somebody sneezes and then you catch it. It's that people apparently roam around for a week or two and infecting people left and right before they even have symptoms. I mean, that's a dangerous situation. That means the whole country can get infected.
Yeah.
You can't have that kind of latency when it comes for transference. It's just not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We have a new closer to the pin. Announcing this one's going to be wild. Wild. Wild, I say. It's going to be the closer to the pin. Announcing it. Here we go. Virgin Galactic. It's the new crazy stock. This stock was
brother.
This stock was, I think we picked this for the game one time and got in and out real quick. But
you did.
Yeah, well, if we didn't have any stops on it, this thing would be up like 200% since I picked it like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Stock was at $10 forever, dropped down.
This is always a bad sign seeing stuff like this.
Right. And more retail investors are bidding this up at Robinhood. That's one of the cool things to look at right now, who owns this stuff. And they keep bidding it up. It was up another 30-something percent today before it came back down to earth. And I think it ended the day up 5 or 6%. After hours, up another 5%. It went from like 30 to 38 today or something like that. It's crazy. And this stock started at $10 at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
So we're going to put that in for the close to the pin.
I was thinking, hey, there's a 25-cent stock. I don't think I'm going to buy any.
Yeah. Well, this has been a real moneymaker. And the question is going to be, I don't know if they're going to make any money. There's some big conference.
I think
it'll
be a moneymaker going down, too. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, possibly. But it's Richard Branson, so you got to appreciate that. So anyway, you can go over to DH Unplugged.
He's had a lot of flops.
He has. Got to love him, though. He's just a cool guy. I think he's a cool guy. Who would you rather have dinner with, Richard Branson or Elon Musk?
Well, that's a good question. That's a great question. And I don't say that lightly, as people know. I don't know. Too bad. I tried to get them both to come.
Great. Thank you.
Then I'd be out of the conversation. Who's this guy?
Right. Well, we know that Richard Branson and Bill Gates aren't having dinner anytime soon. After what?
Musk.
Elon Musk and Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Not having dinner anytime soon after
Yeah, Musk insulted him.
He insulted him because he didn't buy a car from him. He bought the Porsche Tachyon. Looks like a cool car.
He says every time he's talked to Bill, he's been underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed. Yeah. He made some other comment, too, that, you know, he just reused something about reusing old ideas. That's how he got rich or something. Anyway, you can go over to DH Unplugged and you can put in your pick.
I love to watch these billionaires bicker.
Yeah.
Cat fight.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny, though. We got the whole billionaire thing going on where it's like a bad thing to be a billionaire as opposed to looking up to them. It's now become bad to be a billionaire.
Well, you know, that's their fault.
Yeah. So go over to DH Unplugged and put in your price guess. It's going to close next Friday, so you can get a few more days to do so. And then we will pick the champion, I think March 1st, I think, is the date, that Friday, whatever that exact date is. All the information, rules, everything is on dhunplugged.com. And, of course, you can have the chance to win a one-of-a-kind T-shirt and be in the running for the close to the pin for the end of the year. So that's good. Let's see here. What happened to our little donate thing there? Oh, there you go. Hey, thanks so much, by the way, for everybody who donated last week. Really appreciate that. I got some great donations in last week. So I want to continue on with that. For anything, but, you know, just for the sake of making sure that we continue on paying the bills. We don't have to have long discussion about this, but basically go over to DH Unplugged, click on the donate button, and we would highly appreciate it and respectfully send you a lovely thank you note as well. Not signed, plain text, not much going on, but a thank you note nonetheless. So if you want to get that, well, and you want to be a part of this, you want to help us out, we thank you very much. Don't we, John?
Yeah, absolutely. We need the money.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see what else we got here. Okay, oh. So you sent me the headline on this thing was like, lots of charts, interesting rereading. Thank goodness it was in a PDF because otherwise it'd be a total waste of paper. Something like that? You sent me these charts?
No, I never said that. I just thought you should look at it.
So I did pull off one of the charts from there. I thought it was really interesting.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Let's see here. So this is the U.S. debt to GDP. Percentage of debt to GDP.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that one.
So we kind of spiked up in World War II, which made sense. We were selling all those bonds, those, 100-year bonds, 50-year bonds during World War II, and it was like a whole
war
thing.
War bonds.
Yeah, war bonds, buy American, you know, and put the money into the... And that was different because we were on hard times, but everybody was supporting the country, right? You know, that's what everybody was doing. And then it kind of came down into the 70s, and the debt to GDP came down, and we balanced the budgets. And then starting in about 2008, 9, 10, we started to see that growth again back into 2011, 12. And now we're about 100, or I guess right now we're about 90% debt to GDP, which means that if we were a company, our income would equal our debt load.
Yeah.
The problem is the projection.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That projection goes vertical. So the estimate by the Congressional Budget Office, or the CBO, is saying that by 2050, we're going to be at about 175% of debt to GDP along this spectrum. Now, a lot of things are going to happen between now and then, right? You have different budgets.
Yeah.
You have different people
this
in office.
Is projected.
Projected. If nothing changes.
At the recent curve, the recent ramp.
Right. If nothing changes, this is what it's going to be. So this is a problem because that's the numbers you usually see out of emerging markets. And people also that are in countries that are in, well, dire straits, countries that are poor, poverty stricken, they use their debt to fund the government, to fund the country without the ability to bring in any significant revenues. And they raise so high to one point, one day they can't afford their debt if, let's say, interest rates rise and it just collapses. That's what you get at 150%. Of GDP or debt to GDP. So we're on our way there, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a few years.
The good news is that it's like global warming. Fortunately, not going to be there when I'm alive.
Well, and this could turn back the other way too. I mean, it does go up and down.
The truth is that we had the last time that we saw the deficit go down dramatically in GDP, either one you want to look at, go up, was under Clinton, right? He pretty much wiped off a lot of the debt. So we had that.
He did some nice work, yes, thanks to a Republican Congress, I might add.
Whatever you want to say. I'm just saying under his reign, if you will, that time period. So now, though, the spending is so out of control, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better. And if we have further tax cuts, I don't know how this is going to play out. It's going to be interesting to see. We have some interesting politics going on. More than 1,000 alumni of the Justice Department on Sunday released a letter condemning Attorney General William Barr over his intervention in the prison sentencing of Roger Stone.
Yeah, like they should care about that. This is the same group. This is a group of guys. This is a club of some sort. They did this about 6 months to a year ago.
With Comey? Was it with Comey? Didn't they do something like that too? They did something with him, I thought.
It was the same group of people, same guys, a bunch of DOJ people, that mostly all, with few exceptions, all Democrats, all part on this, apparently the same exact mailing list. I checked in with these guys because I thought it was a fake, but no, it was real. And it was about, we recommend Trump be impeached, I think it was something like that. And it was like before the impeachment thing began. This is a scam of the highest order. This is like, it doesn't really mean anything. And I'm irked by it personally.
So I wonder if it's like the retired Justice Department alumni group. And they send out one of those emails and says, hey, put this on your letterhead and send it in. Or sign on this e-signed document.
It's something like that, but I did check in with a few of the guys. I tracked them down, because the list is there in Medium. It's also the other one appeared in Medium too. Same people, and I tracked a couple of them down because it just seemed kind of fake to me. And they all confirmed, no, we were all in on this, and it's not a fake, it's a real deal, but it's kind of sketchy.
Yeah, and then Senator Minority Leader Chuck Schumer calling for the Inspector General to launch an investigation into improper political interference into a criminal prosecution. And then, I don't know.
Yeah, nothing will come of it. Just a publicity stunt.
They should just let it go because we seem to have the February pardon season seems to be upon us today. We have Rod Blagojevich. I can't pronounce the guy's name.
Blagojevich.
Yeah, Blago, yeah. So Trump commutes sentences of former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich, pardons ex
NYPD commissioner,
and Michael Milken.
Yeah, I found that that's the one that was interesting.
That one's kind of weird, right?
Well, I don't know. A lot of what's weird about it is that Milken was really put in or indicted by Giuliani, who's Trump's lawyer. So it's really funny. I mean, maybe Giuliani told Trump, and maybe this guy should have been, because he was actually, a lot of people that know Milken, who did a lot of good charitable work after all this, after he was a financial guy. And he is going to be remembered as the guy who invented the junk bond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was this Boesky guy who was the bad actor, and he turned state's evidence on everybody, and Milken took the knife in the back.
So I wonder if this means, if he gets a full pardon, does that mean that his sentence, which would have been, let's say, I don't know if he was still in jail. I don't think he was still in jail.
No, he was no, he hadn't been
out.
No.
So, do you think that though his barring from any
full pardon is a full pardon? I think that he should be able to get his license back.
Wow, that's pretty cool, huh?
Well, if a guy like that gets his license back because he hasn't lost his chops, I'd keep an eye on him. Seriously.
No kidding. Wow.
I mean, it's like the Baker brothers.
Wow. Yep. It's pretty hot out there. Last month was the hottest January on record, scientists say, which I'm not going to argue. It may have been measuring 2 degrees Fahrenheit above the 20th century average. And the new record announced by NOAA on Thursday came out on the heels of the hottest decade on record also. From when they were collecting data 141 years ago, which, by the way, you have to wonder whether or not the instrumentation back 141 years was able to calculate as accurately as we are today. Right?
Seems highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. But I'm not going to argue with this. I'm not. You know what?
Well, the guy, the head of the Weather Channel guy, who, I don't know if he's still alive anymore, but he was an anti-hysteric. He says that they repainted all these weather boxes with a different kind of paint that would naturally make the temperatures hotter. He said that he really has all these things that a lot of this is a scam. But okay.
Well, they're calling it a phenomena that is caused by something called the Arctic Oscillation.
Yeah, we'll tell that to Arctic Oscillation. The people in Washington State who get snowed in now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, sometimes scientists think the pattern may strengthen while growing carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere. There's a lot of noise in the pattern, they said, making it difficult to identify a clear trend. John Coleman, is that who we're talking about?
Yeah, Coleman.
He died.
Oh, he did? Oh, that's too bad.
Yep. We just got an update from Tom Starkweather. Tom Starkweather says that, give a link for John Coleman dying, I guess, back in 2018. Yep. All right. And I think on the, for the fun of it, I thought it was interesting that President Trump took the beast around.
Yeah. I thought that he didn't do it, but I guess I saw the movie. Yeah, I don't know if he was in the beast because I don't know.
I heard he was in the beast. I want to know if he was driving because that would have been cool.
Yeah, they don't. Apparently, they don't let anyone drive that thing unless you're a certain Secret Service person.
Yeah, so he took a lap around the Air Force One. Did what, a 700-foot flyover over NASCAR,
something like that.
A lot of fun going on. Lots of fun, but it was rained out.
It was rained out. Well, I think they got 10 or 20 laps in and they got rained out and they had to play it the next day.
And then the guy in that awful crash came in fourth. Did you see that crash?
No, I missed
terrible,
that.
Terrible crash. Terrible. He's up and talking. He's okay now. But just around the last lap or around the last deal coming into the checkered flag, gets kind of pushed a little bit. Then it gets banged a little bit. Car goes up and over, smashed into another car, and just on the hood.
Yeah, all these restrictor plate races has this mess at the end, with rare exceptions.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I have a surprise for you.
Yeah?
Yep, we'll see if you like the surprise. Ready?
There is a show called DH Unplugged. Limericks in the program are debugged, listener supplied, with entries worldwide. John and Andrew make sure the writer is plugged.
Oh, brother.
Tom's listening right now. I know he's there.
Hey, good work, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. So we have limericks now. These are Fed limericks that anybody could put in and send it over to DH email at dhunplugged.com, and we will put it into the weekly. And I wrote one last week, and you sent in two. Actually, I got three this week. One of them was disqualified because it wasn't written by the person who sent it in. I thought the first one, well, you're going to score this, but do you want to read it, the first one? You want me to read it? How do you want to do this?
You read it. You read it so I can get into the mood.
Okay. The first one, I tried to read this a few times. Well, let me not set it up so you can do a fair score. I'm taking a little swig of the Propel water. Here we go. This is sent in by Philip Curtis. The Baltic Index gives us thought. Clarification of world economies is sought. But the Wuhan threat is near, causing public trips of fear. But invest we must, in God I trust, and markets will continue to be bought.
Well, it was good until the last line.
Well, the problem is it's not the usual stanza.
That's the problem. The problem is that this is an illegal limerick.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so it gets an F. Sorry.
Yeah, you added too many lines to it. I think you're too over.
Yeah, you're getting to be, you know, Robert Frost here. You know, you keep going.
All right, chat room, what do you have to say? We got 1-0. All right, Philip, don't give up. Philip, don't feel bad.
Yeah, you got to do a little work. Read about limericks.
Yeah, you got to read about limericks.
Idea to a point here, then you dropped it.
They were good, actually, because I like how he went from one sentence to the next. But yes, two of those lines
could
have been pulled.
It was good, and then it just died.
Yeah. The next one's from Chris Baston. And Chris Baston says, As an Aussie, I don't know the Fed, but I listen to DH in bed. If I continue to listen, my knowledge will glisten, my head fully packed and well fed.
Wow.
I actually read that right. Was the good half of that.
I'll give him an A minus.
Wow.
That was a good limerick.
F. That's from an Aussie. That's good. Nice. Very nice. Anyway, so send in your limericks over to dhemail@dhunplug.com and we'll get them on the air next week. We'll get them on the air.
Any come in.
Yep. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplug.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
There you go.
Thank you, announcer. Let me just say something as we set this up. Very discouraging, the kind of whipsawing that's going on, the inside moves and the lack of ability to break out on some of these names.
Yeah, I agree.
It seems like it's the gains are concentrated in just a handful of stocks. Now, I'm not talking about everything here, but it seems like there's a high concentration of movers in the Googles and the Microsofts and the Apples and the Amazons and the Facebooks and you know the list, and AMDs and the
Intels. Usual suspects.
Yeah, the usual suspects. And that's it. The rest of the stuff is kind of wandering all over the place.
Not Summit Bank.
Nope, not Summit Bank. Nope. Doing pretty well there.
So I see the zoo. So we have four stocks on here. We usually have 10 or 12, but they only got four left. And one of them got kicked off, Zoom, which is up. And I saw the announcement today. It had been a nice long, actually. You shorted it.
Well, I shorted it with the idea that everybody was thinking that this was going to be the play for coronavirus and all that. And I get that. And then that, you know what? People are going to realize there are other options. There's plenty of other places that you can go free or paid to get the same service. Zoom's a good quality service. Is the best. On24 is pretty good. WebEx is pretty good. You know, log me in, go to meeting, blah, 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 blah. But for whatever reason, this is caught on as the play.
Yeah, and it's not going to go down. So it got kicked off, so it doesn't matter. Amazon is still on here. You have a short on that.
You do.
Oh, that's me. I have the short. Oh, we do. Don't we? No, I have the short.
I didn't put the gray. Yes, I should have put gray there. Let me gray that.
Yeah, I have a short, and it's down 5%. I haven't lost too much. And Williams Sonoma, which is
that's mine.
Yours.
So my thought on this was that, well, we're going to have a problem with importing of goods from China. Nobody wants to pay five times the amount.
And it's also overpriced stuff. Right. The reason you did this is because you went to the store and you were disappointed and you didn't buy anything.
I stomped out.
So you're like an old woman when you picked this stock.
I stomped out. I said, who is paying these prices? That's what happened. Yeah. That's a true story.
Know. Yeah. No, I... So what do you got you have nothing?
I have nothing because I want to see how this plays out a little bit with a lot of things that are happening right now. There's a little bit of euphoria going into things. There's a little bit of concern about this coronavirus. We're starting to see more companies come out. I don't want to get involved in this right now, even though it's a game. It's too much wonkiness.
Okay, I got a descending triangle that I want to play.
You should see a doctor about that. I'm just saying.
If I twist just right, it's fine. Twin, T-W-I-N.
Twin, huh? Let's see. Twin.
I need a 15% on this because it's a penny stock.
$9.75. Twin Disc Corporation. What does it do? Do we know?
They make machinery.
Ah, okay. 15% stop. JCD pick. Okay, got it. And 15% stop. Anything else? That's a long, of course.
Well, I was looking. I will say a couple of things just for people who would like to follow these kinds of things. I'm not picking it, but I'm just going to tell you about it. For some unknown reason, Avis is skyrocketing. And there's a lot of insider, but there's a $14 million purchase, an insider. I believe this insider is, let me see what this insider does for work. He's a guy who doesn't play a lot. He's not a player, but he's one of the directors of the company. It looks just like somebody bought a bunch because they're going to do a merger. That's what it looks like from watching these insiders for years.
I wonder if a company like Apple would buy them and start trying to throw in the automation.
I don't know. All I know is that there is a it's overpriced, and it looks like an insider thinks something's going on with this company.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is kind of interesting. Is there's another there's some insider action with Total, the oil company, which is also getting a lot of action, even though it's down. I think it went down 1.2% today, around 48. Kind of interesting. I'm not buying it, but it's something people should note.
Mm-hmm.
And one more, I think. No, I think those are the two that caught my attention. But I'm sticking with the descending
trend. Twin disc.
Twin disc.
The double disc. All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to end it there. Everybody, go over to Deitch Unplugged. See all the things that are on the show notes, because there's some extras on there as well. You can check that out. Go to the donate button. Click that. Put in your guess for. What is it? For space, Virgin Galactic, and of course, a limerick. Listen, are you doing a show this Sunday with Adam?
Of course.
Just checking. I know there's a meetup down in Florida on Sunday. So let me just say,
agenda. No, he's going to do the show from down there.
Yeah, so no agenda. I'm having dinner with him on Sunday night.
You going to the meetup?
He didn't ask me to come to the meetup, and I didn't know if I should go.
Oh, you should go.
You think so?
Yeah, you should go to one of these. They're quite entertaining.
It's Friday night. I'll see if I can get up there. It's up in Palm Beach.
If you can, it's okay too.
Yeah, but I'm having dinner with him Sunday. That's why I was wondering if you're doing the show on Sunday also.
Yeah, we're doing the show.
Anyway, No Agenda Show with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 noon, rain or shine, in or out of the office, in or out of the studio, out of a box if it has to be, it seems, is going to be always on, always available, deconstructing all the greatest of news items of the week, as well as some great clips. And don't forget about No Agenda Animated, or Animated No Agenda. Jennifer does a good job.
Yeah, it's great.
And, of course, the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We have a great guest on oil coming in this week. We're going to talk about what's going on with oil, where the direction is, and what's going on with that. So the Disciplined Investor Podcast as well, where you can find it, and No Agenda, where all great podcasts can be found on any directory out there, an app, iTunes, blah, 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 blah. So that's my pitch for the week.
I like it.
All right. Well, I'll see you again next week.
All right. See you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.